You're listening to the Hope United podcast, creating an atmosphere of worship, family, and discipleship. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit hopeunited.church.
The name of the sermon today is A New Hope. A New Hope. And I'm a Star Wars fan. Is anybody a Star Wars fan? So the galaxy was in turmoil. It was oppressed. There were problems. And then there was a new hope that sprung up. Can I tell you, there was problems in the earth. There were problems in the galaxy. There was systematic failure in mankind. And then a new hope came about. Is anybody in agreement with me? There was a new hope that sprung up. And so I want to talk to you today about that new hope. We've been talking about this series, Here Comes the Sun. S-O-N. Here Comes the Sun. Because everybody likes to come to church on Christmas Eve. And we like to celebrate baby Jesus in a manger. But how did we get to that point? How did we get from Adam to Christ? How did we go on this journey? How did we get to this place? Well, there are prophecies that pointed the way to Jesus thousands of years before Jesus ever showed up. I want to take a moment and talk about prophecy. Prophecy about Jesus. Messianic prophecy that pointed the way to this beautiful Christmas long before we had it. First off, let's take a step back. Prophecy is a huge part of the Bible. A third of the Bible is prophecy. And we don't want to talk about just any prophecy. We want to focus on these messianic prophecies. There's over 300 messianic prophecies. So we can't go over every single prophecy. So I'm just going to highlight a few of them to point the direction towards this Saturday night when we're going to be celebrating Christmas Eve and celebrating the birth of Jesus for Christmas. Now, we can go back and we can look in Genesis. Is anybody ready? And we can look all through the Old Testament. We can look through the New Testament and see Jesus. Anybody want to see Jesus with new eyes? So I was studying for this message because I do believe in studying it and not winging it. Some people are so good they can actually get up and wing stuff. That isn't me. I like to be prepared. And so I was studying early in the morning, and it was before the kids went to school. The kids had to leave in about 5-10 minutes. And so Esperanza, sometimes Christian, they like to bust into the office and say something crazy or give me a good morning hug or something like that. So Esperanza comes in, my 5-year-old, and she overhears something that I'm listening to while I'm studying, and it's talking about probability. And she says, Daddy, what's probability? And in my mind, I'm like, oh my goodness, a 5-year-old's asking about probability, and she has to leave for school in 10 minutes. This is not going to end well. I said, well, it's something complicated. It's talking about the scriptures, and, you know, it's talking about technical stuff. That's something I'll explain to you later. She said, no, I need to know now. I need to know now. What is probability? It's like, okay, challenge accepted. So I say, well, probability is the likelihood of something happening. She's like, I don't know what likelihood is. It's like, okay. Probability has to do with what are the chances of something happening. Like, what are the chances of when I pick you up from school, we go straight home? 90% chance, right? What is the chances of it, once I pick you up, we go to Publix or go to your grandmother's house? Like a 10% chance, right? Probability. Boom. What's so amazing about messianic scriptures is there is a famous mathematician and professor named Dr. Peter Stoner, and he was talking with his students about how likely it was, what was the probability of someone fulfilling all of the scriptures about a coming Messiah. Because some people's gripe with Christianity is they say, oh, you just took Jesus and you just painted him into the equation, right? There's a few passages or a few prophecies and you just threw Jesus in there. He was kind of in the same age range and time range and he did some of the things that were prophesied. So you just kind of put him in there because you wanted him to be the Messiah. Well, this is what Dr. Stoner said. Because he tells us about probability. He takes not the over 300 scriptures. He just takes 8 of the hard ones and said, how difficult would it be for me to stick Jesus or find a person, an individual that meets the criteria for these 8 things? But first, before we do this, let's talk about probability. The probability of a man being bald in America is 1 in 10. So about 1 in 10 guys are bald in America. The probability of an American living in Texas, 1 in 12. The probability of an adult being an only child is 1 in 20. The probability of something strange like going to the ER for a golf cart accident, 1 in 2,000. The probability of you being a movie star, 1 in a million. The probability of a person fulfilling just 8 of the 300 messianic prophecies is 10 to the 17th power. That's a 1 with 17 zeros after it. It's a little bit more than our national debt. The uniqueness of Jesus, there has never been a man like Jesus. There will never be a man like Jesus. The probability of someone fulfilling all of the scriptures or just those 8 prophecies is the same probability of a blind man finding one particular silver dollar that is marked on one side in Texas that's filled up 2 feet high with silver dollars on the first try. Jesus was unique. Turn to somebody and say, from the beginning, God had a plan. God wasn't guessing. God wasn't surprised. Actually, right after Adam sinned, Jesus had a plan. Jesus already had a plan in place. I love this little thing. Before there was John 3:16, there was Genesis 3:15. Before there was John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. There was Genesis 3:15. And so even as God is cursing the snake, listen to this prophecy that God gives. It's a prophetic thing. Genesis 3:15, you can go. And I will cause hostility, talking to the snake, between you and the woman. And between your offspring and her offspring, listen, he will strike your head and you will strike his heel. The NIV version says, and he will crush your head and you will strike his heel. You will cause him pain, but he will crush your authority. You will cause him pain, but the Messiah will crush your authority. Genesis 12, we see with Abraham, God is thinking of this messianic promise, this prophetic utterance he gives Abraham. Genesis 12:3, I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And listen, all the people on earth will be blessed through you. Now, there's been a lot of great things that have happened through the Jewish people. But there's only one thing that blessed the entire earth. Does anybody know what that one thing is? Jesus. The Messiah. The gift from the seed of Abraham that blessed the earth. We sing about it every Christmas Eve. The gift that was produced from Abraham and from the promise and prophecy that God gave Abraham. You know, it makes a big difference what family you're born into. Is anybody ready to deal with your family over the holidays? Amen. Nobody's got their hand up. All right. How many people like your family? If your family's sitting with you, you're probably, you know, going to have your hand in the air. How many people are praying for the grace to deal with your family over the holidays? All right. Well, it's no coincidence what family that God placed Jesus in. He said, I'm going to place the Messiah in a specific family. It's going to be a certain family because it's got to be the right dynamic, the right moment, the right honor, the right thing that I'm establishing. And so this is the way it was with Jesus. The Messiah, the prophet Micah gave us this prophecy about the birth of the Messiah. Micah 5:2 says, but you, O Bethlehem, Ephratah, are only a small village among all the people of Judah, yet a ruler of Israel, whose origins are in the distant past, will come from you on my behalf. So it's no accident what family, what city that Jesus was born in. It's no average, normal Jewish carpenter and virtuous young woman named Mary, but it was chosen for a reason. Micah prophesies the Messiah will come from Bethlehem. What's interesting is there's two Bethlehems. There's a Bethlehem in the north. There's a Bethlehem in the south. Micah, he said it's going to be in the south by Jerusalem. That Bethlehem. Bethlehem Ephratah. 7 centuries before Jesus came. 7 centuries before Jesus came. He said he's going to be born in Bethlehem. Isaiah 11:1 says it's going to be a branch of David's line. Out of the stump of David's family will grow a shoot. Yes, a new branch bearing fruit from the old root. And the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. He will delight in obeying the Lord. He will not judge by appearance, nor make a decision based on hearsay. He will give justice to the poor and make fair decisions for the exploited. The earth will shake at the force of his word. Does that sound like anybody? And one breath from his mouth will destroy the wicked. He will wear righteousness like a belt and truth like an undergarment. So he's saying he will be from the lineage of David. And so God promises a Messiah that will not just come from the lineage of David, but he will be like David in the fact that David was a king and he was a shepherd. He was one that ruled and one that also cared for the people. Listen to this. This is what the prophet Ezekiel gave. After David was long gone at this point, but Ezekiel was prophesying about someone like David. He says, my servant David will be their king, and they will have only one shepherd, and they will obey my regulations and be careful to keep my decrees. God is into how people are treated. Has anybody ever noticed that about God? So he uses this analogy about shepherding. Why? Because God cares about people. The analogy of shepherding is important because it always shows how much care that God has. And David is an example of this shepherd type of picture. Micah 5:4 says, he will stand to lead his flock with the Lord's strength in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And his people will live there undisturbed, for he will be highly honored around the world. Does anybody know of anybody highly honored? Highly honored around the world. Jacob prophesies right before he dies. He's going through all of his 12 sons, and he's given them each a prophecy. And this is what he says when he comes to Judah. He says, the scepter will not depart from Judah. You know, David came from Judah. The scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from his descendants until the coming of the one whom it belongs, the one whom all nations will honor. Now, there's a couple people that were honored by a lot of the nations. David was honored by a lot of the nations. Solomon was honored by a lot of the nations. But see, the scepter began with David and Solomon. It didn't stop there. The scepter stopped at Jesus. it will continue, says that the scepter will continue until it gets to the person to whom it belongs. And he will receive the honor of the nations. So we know what? We know that prophecy gives us location. Prophecy gives us lineage. Prophecy gives us an idea that he'll be a king. He'll be a priest. He'll be a king. He'll be a shepherd. But it also tells us that he'll be a priest. David says in Psalm 110, he says he's worshiping and he's writing songs. And David kind of prophetically says this about Jesus. And Jesus even quotes David on this in the New Testament. But Psalm 110 says, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit in the place of honor at my right hand until I humble your enemies, making them a footstool under your feet. The Lord will extend your powerful kingdom from Jerusalem. You will rule over your enemies. When you go to war, your people will serve you willingly. You are arrayed in holy garments, and your strength will be renewed each day like the morning dew. The Lord has taken an oath and will not break his vow. You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek." Is there anybody that's a priest forever? Well, no. Most people, they die, right? They have a term. But he is a priest forever. And what's interesting about the Old Testament priest is they made sacrifices that atone for people's sin. What else did priests do? They would intercede for the people. Their very sacrificing things was as an act of intercession. And they would judge in matters of religion and ordinary life. And they were a middleman between God and the people. Jesus is the perfect middleman. Turn to somebody and say, Jesus is the perfect middleman. You remember in school, anybody remember in school when you needed a middleman? Because there was that person that you wanted to talk to, but you couldn't talk to him. Just tell her that. Tell her that I like her. Tell him that I like him, okay? Just tell him, no, don't tell him that. Just tell him, no, tell him that I like his backpack. And so, Jesus is our intermediary. He is our middleman, but he is the perfect person. Jesus says, there's no one that can get to God except through me. I'm the way, the truth, the light, right? No one comes to the Father but by me. He's the perfect middleman, but he's also God. There is no separation between us and the Father anymore, because Jesus said, if you've seen me, seeing the Father. You made an appointment with me? You're seeing the Father. You're talking to me? You're talking to the Father. Prophetic symbolism. It's so awesome. If we open our eyes, we can see it in our everyday life. We can see it in the Bible. We can see it all over the place. When we want to see Jesus and we're looking for Jesus, you're going to see Jesus. How many person, you're watching the TV and you saw Jesus? Or you're watching a movie and you saw Jesus. Or you read something in a book and you saw Jesus. Well, in the Bible, there's symbolism. And even though that something isn't necessarily directly saying Jesus, it's indirectly saying Jesus. This is prophetic symbolism. And if you look, Jesus is all over there. If you look, you can find Jesus in all kinds of places. But biblical symbolism is really great. Genesis introduces the symbol of Jesus as a lion, fierce and ruling. Exodus introduces the symbol of a lamb, gentle, atoning for sins, a blood that covers sins, right? Over the doorpost. John prophesies in Revelation, he shows Jesus as the lion and the lamb. Deuteronomy prophesies the coming of a prophet like Moses. This is so interesting because we talked about priest, we talked about king, we've talked about shepherd, we've talked about the place, we've talked about the line of David. But Moses said, God's going to give you another prophet and he's going to be like me. And you see, if you look at the Old Testament or you study, it's considered that Moses was the greatest prophet before Jesus. Moses says this. Moses Moses said, there's going to be, God's going to give you another. Don't worry, I'm dying, but God is going to give you another prophet. There's going to be another prophet that comes. This is the interesting thing that you have to understand about what Moses did. Moses gave the whole foundation for the Old Testament. That's how big Moses was of a figure. Moses gave the law. Moses gave a whole code of conduct, a whole government code for a nation to be birthed. Follow me. I want you to look at the parallels. Moses gave a whole system of government so the nation could be birthed. God used Moses to perform some of the greatest miracles ever recorded. The 10 plagues of Egypt, the parting of the Red Sea, water from the rock, and on and on. And Moses, watch this, saved the people. Moses saved, there was that messianic thing about him. He was a savior. Wasn't the savior of the world, but he was definitely the savior of Israel while they were in bondage to Egypt. And then Moses turns around and prophesies God would raise up another prophet like him. So basically we're saying there's going to be another prophet, but he is going to hear from God and establish a whole new season. A whole new season is going to be a whole new game changer. He's going to shape government. He's going to perform miracles of epic proportions. And, oh yeah, he's going to save the people. Moses was a parallel. He was what's called a type and shadow. Something that is to come. We have other symbols throughout the Bible. I love it. You know, this year, Hanukkah coincides with Christmas. You know, 2,000 years ago, Hanukkah coincided with Christmas. Hanukkah is biblical symbolism because it's the festival of lights and Jesus is the light of the world. In the temple when Jesus died, the curtain was torn because there's now no more separation between us and God. In John's revelation, he's the living word, and we could go on and on. He would be a king like David, a priest like Melchizedek, a conqueror like Joshua, a prophet like Moses, sold out like Joseph, a redeemer like Boaz, sinless like Adam, faithful like Abraham, wise like Solomon. Jesus would be the whole package. Jesus is everything we need. 2,000 years ago, Jesus, the Messiah, came into the world and he forever changed history and he forever changed the future. That beautiful Christmas changed everything. And Jesus would have a mission. Luke 19:10. Don't worry, children's rooms will be built soon. He had a mission to save the lost, and that mission became our mission as believers. Raise your hand if that mission is your mission today. To seek and save the lost. So as we conclude, we've heard some amazing prophecies that led up to Christmas, that led up to this Messiah named Jesus. Let us ask ourselves, what do we do with this Messiah? What do we do with his message? And what do we do with his mission? Will it become your mission and my mission? Has it become our mission? Let's bow our heads. Father, I thank you for what you said in your word. The Son of Man came to seek and save those that are lost. There's so many people that are lost, especially when it comes onto the holidays. It's so pronounced in our culture that people are hurting, people are broken, people are searching for something. God, let us be your hands and feet. Let us take up your mission to seek and save people that are lost. Seek and save people that don't have a relationship with you. Bring them into your beautiful family. Let us be concerned as you were concerned for those that are hurting. And say as you said, come to me, all those that are weary and got heaviness on them, and I will show you a place of rest. I will show you Jesus.
Thank you for listening to the Hope United podcast. Be sure to visit hopeunited.church for more exciting content.